Psalm 34, beginning with verse 1. If you don't like praise, you're in the wrong place this morning. Ought to be that way all the time. I like when Kevin asked his first question this morning. Somebody in the choir, I'm not sure who it was, when they asked about what they came to do, they said to praise the Lord. It's what we have come to do. Praise the Lord today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be, what's the next few words? In my mouth. Not occasionally, not once in a while, at all times, continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'll stop reading there because I'm only going to try to bring an introduction and 2 points to the message. I'm going to try to do that. I call your attention to the phrase, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord. You know, that's a confusing text. Quiet, isn't it? Why is it confusing? Well, to us, what does magnify mean? To make bigger. Any of you getting older, if you're like me, I've got magnifying glasses stuck around everywhere. And suddenly things that's hard to see are easy to see because you magnify it. And here's the confusion from the text. How do you make God bigger than what he already is? You can't. You can't make God bigger than what he already is. He fills the universe. He's in all places. He can do all things. There's nothing impossible for him. You simply cannot make God bigger than what he is. Well, what does he say? Oh, magnify the Lord. I can't make God bigger in the universe, but I can change my perspective of God until he's bigger in me. And that's what this text is all about, letting God be bigger in us and realizing just exactly who he is. So it's not a contradiction of terms, because some would say, see, you say that God is everywhere, and that God is all things, and that God cannot be any bigger, and then you say magnify him. No, I'm changing my perspective of God. I want to see God bigger than I've ever seen him before. He's always been big, but I just didn't see it. You see, I need help sometimes seeing God the way that he really is, because I get clouded by my own ideas and by my own dreams and by my own visions, by my own goals. And sometimes I really don't see God as big as what he should be in my life. So really it's about us seeing God the way we ought to see him. Two ways you can magnify the Lord with me. Simple ways. First of all, say something about him. Don't stand up and say something to us. Say something to him about him. That's why he said his praise shall continually be in my mouth. He's saying, we ought to say something. God wants to hear us say something. God speaks. When God spoke, this world came into existence, and God wants us to say something in relation to him and say things like this to him. Lord, how beautiful you are. How holy you are. How mighty you are. Lord, how wonderful you are. Lord, how good you are to me. Sometimes you have to say something. So if we want to magnify the Lord, we've got to say something. Not stand up and say something about how the devil has fought us, or say something about how wonderful that we are, or say something about what we did this week, but say something about God and His greatness and His good. Not say it to your neighbor, say it to your friend, say it to God. Bless the Lord. You got to say something. And then you not only have to say something about Him, but you have to seek something from Him. Verse 4. The Bible says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, God can do anything, but for some reason, God has, in His almighty power, has chosen to call on us to have the initiative in this thing. Now, people don't like that. They think that God just stands back with a club and that when the time comes right, He whacks us over the head and makes us do what we didn't want to do, but that's not how it works. Seek the Lord and you'll find Him. There's something about seeking God that God is pleased by us seeking Him. God says, I can open the door, but I'll not open the door till you knock. I'll not give you what you're looking for until you seek for it. I'm not going to give it to you until you ask for it. God is looking for people that are ready to seek Him. And when we no longer want to seek Him, God says that we're not fulfilling our purpose for why He even put us here on this earth. Because every one of us, the reason that He leaves us here is so that we'll continue to seek Him all the days of our life. In everything, we're seeking God. We don't know it all, but God does. So we seek God for the answer. But what the problem is that we don't seek the presence of God. We're like Saul. We seek the position, but not the presence. Did you know that's why God rejected Saul? Saul was trying to run his kingdom by his own agenda. And God said, I'm not looking for people that are self-seekers. I'm looking for people that are seeking me. Everything is not about my agenda and what's going on in my life. God's not some kind of a bellhop to serve me at my convenience and at my time. I need God every day, and without God, I can do nothing. And we need to understand that God's saying to us, we ought to say, Lord, without your presence, we are nothing. And we can do nothing. People seek everything but God today. We seek the blessings, but we don't seek the blesser. Sometimes God will let you get what you want just to show you you don't want what you get. I could preach there for a while, but I got to move on. Woe be to the person that seeks anything but God. And woe be to the person that seeks anything above God. For what you seek becomes your idol. And what becomes your idol is the thing that you have pursued. And what you pursue is what you will praise. I don't have to talk to you 5 minutes to figure out what your God is. Because what your God is what you will say something about. If your God is possessions, that's all you'll talk about is your possessions. If your God is sports, that's all you'll talk about. Some of you can tell me the batting average of every Cincinnati Red ball player, but don't know the name of a single apostle. Thank all three of you for the amen. Some of you know everything that's happening on the stock market. You know everything that's happening in the economy. You know everything that's happening all around you, but you don't have a clue what God wants to do in your life because you're seeking the wrong thing. Whatever you're pursuing, be careful when you pursue it, because what you pursue will become your God. And if you're going to pursue it as your God, you better make sure it's good enough to heal you when you're sick. You better make sure it's good enough to raise you when you're dying. You better make sure it's good enough to find your lost wayward children when they're in a distant state and you don't know what to do. You better make sure that it's good enough to put food on your table. You better make sure it's good enough to protect you from the hand of the enemy. You better make sure that God is good enough to see you through this life and to take you all the way to heaven and the end. Make sure it's good enough to forgive your sin. What you pursue, it will become your God. I'm starting to feel this. So God rejected Saul because he was seeking the wrong thing. So when Saul was rejected, Samuel was weeping. And God says, Samuel, what are you weeping for? Because you've rejected the king. It was the king they wanted. It was the king that God had told Samuel to anoint. But now we see Samuel weeping. God says to Samuel, what are you weeping for? What are you crying for? Get your horn of oil. Some of you aren't ready for this, but just take a deep breath. God doesn't cry over those of you that don't want to do. Heaven is not going to bankrupt itself because you've got a bad attitude. You can be replaced. I promise you, if I'm not here next Sunday, you'll still have church. Church doesn't hinge on me. It doesn't hinge on you or anybody else. God's not concerned with our desires and our selfish goals. And it doesn't hinge on me. It all hinges on God. And God says, I've already done something. One of the few times you'll find God pursuing and God seeking is God is seeking for somebody that's willing to praise him. And God said, I want you to get your horn of oil. I've gone on a manhunt and I've found somebody. He's not the one that you think should be chosen, but he's the one that I've chosen, and he's the one that I want you to anoint. He won't be like his seven brothers. He won't be strong. He won't be older. He won't have experience. He won't have wisdom. He said, but there's something different about him. In the middle of the desert, in the darkness of night, he looks up to the stars, and he sees that I have numbered every one of them, and he writes songs about it. He's amongst the sheep, and he smells like the pasture field, but there's something different about that boy. He's crazy in love with me. He worships me continually. He dances and sings and he writes songs like the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God said, go anoint him. God's on a manhunt today. He's on a manhunt for some people that'll praise him. David wasn't a perfect man, but he was a praising man. He knew that for his imperfections, God was greater. It wasn't that he wanted God to condone his sin. He wanted God to forgive his sin. And when God forgave his sin, he praised him for it. God's looking for some people today that'll say something about him and seek something from him. Oh, but it's changed. People don't seek the Lord anymore. Even though that God is looking for a praiser, people don't praise God anymore. Why? Why don't we seek God? I mean, really? Oh, well, preacher, you don't know we're not seeking God. Yes, I do. Whole service will be moved and 100 of you raise your hand. I need help from God, but you won't come to an altar. We're not a fasting generation today. We're not a praying generation today. If you think we're a praying generation, you're fooled. not seeking God. Why aren't we seeking God? Can I propose this to you? The problem is because we think we know God. I mean, that's the terminology I hear. I ask people, you're a Christian? I know the Lord. Really? You know God? You think you know God? Because the devil has deceived us. If we think we know God, then why do you seek something when you already know all there is to know about it? I don't have to go back to the first grade. I've been there. I passed it. Not being a smart aleck, I've been there. I know what they teach you in the first grade. I learned it. They said, you know it well enough, we're going to let you go to the second grade. I went through all 12 grades of school. I went on to college. I don't have to seek for knowledge that I already have. The problem of it is we say we know God, but we don't know God. Oh, we know we're saved. I'll give you that. We know we're saved. And brother, we sure, we know songs. We know Greek and we know Hebrew and we know how to do church. And we know the order of a service. And we know how to follow things by our pattern, but we don't know God. We don't know God. Who do you think you are telling me? You know God. Some of you haven't even said amen yet today. Haven't looked to heaven one time and said, thank you, Lord. You don't know who fed you today. If you did, you'd look up and say, thank you, God, for the food on my table. You don't know who healed you. If you did, you'd already been on your feet saying, yes, I do. Lord, it was you. I know you, Lord. Who do you think you are? Moses led the children of Israel for 40 years through the wilderness. And on a 40-year journey, he stopped. The same man that God said, go to the greatest, most powerful man and ruler in all the world. And tell him, thus saith the Lord. Tell him about the plagues. That was the kind of leader that Moses was. The man that could stand with rod in his hand and a sea divide. Man that depended on God to feed whatever number you want to go with, a million or a million and a half people every day. A man in the middle of wilderness that had to depend on God to send water. But Moses said, Lord, show me thy glory. He knew the law. He penned it. He knew the law that God wrote. He knew prophecy, for prophetically, he was the penmanship of God for the first five books of your Bible. He knew the word of God, but he said, show me thy glory. And God said, because you sought me, Moses, there is a place by me that I will put you in the cliff of the rock. And I'll put my hand over you. And you'll not know all there is to know about me, but you'll know I passed by. For you'll see my hinder parts and know that I passed by your way. You know God? Paul, the Hebrew of Hebrews, the man that was excellent in the knowledge of the law of the Lord. The man that was one of the most intelligent New Testament writers said that I may know him. That I may know him. The man that had seen miracles performed. The man that had stopped preaching long enough to come down and lay his hands on a man and raise him from the dead. He said that I may know him. Fellowship of his sufferings, the power of his resurrection, and being conformed unto his death. He said that I may know him. Oh no, we don't know God. We don't know God. If we knew God, we'd never hush up. People think we're crazy all the time because all we do is drive down the road and talk to him and tell him about how good he is to us. We don't know him. No, no, we don't see, preacher, we don't have to seek God today. We hire people to lead us into the presence of God. So sick of that. We don't want a preacher that will edify. We don't want a preacher that will exhort. We want people that will entertain us. Let us feel good about ourselves. Our distance from God, but yet they put a smile on our face and make us feel good. They don't like to feel like some of you are feeling right now, saying, I wish you'd hush up right now because I just come to hear a little while for someone to stir it. See, you're like spectators at a concert. You come in and you sit down and say, who's going to do the best job entertaining me this morning? Will it be the choir? Or will it be the special singer? Or will it be the preacher? Will it be this preacher or that preacher? I didn't come to entertain you. I've come to point you in the direction of seeking God, because if we start to seek God, strange things will begin to happen. Oh, well, preacher, I said amen 10 years ago. Oh, I got carried away one time. Now, some of you are going to be really, really upset with me. All I can say is get over it. The Psalms ends by 150 and verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's a direct command. You say, preacher, I don't feel like it. It's not a feeling. It's a fact. Show me where he said, when everything is just right, I'll praise the Lord. Show me where he said, when I give you a blessing, I'll praise the Lord. He didn't say that. Let everything that hath breath. Why? Because God says the very next breath you have, I'm the one that gave it to you. God said, if I snatch it from you, you're not fast enough to catch it again. God said, it's in me that you have your life and your movement and your well-being. And God said, if you're breathing, you've got to praise me, because without me, you have no life. It takes God, and without God, we can do nothing. You say, I'm not emotional. Look right here. The problem is not that you're not emotional. The problem is you are not obedient. I tell you what it is, we've gotten used to God. We've gotten so used to God showing up around here through others that you think, I don't need him myself. But folks, I'm here to tell you, I can't depend on what you have with God. I can't depend on you to praise God for me. I can't depend on somebody else to tell God how good that he's been to me. God says, Cal, I'm not asking somebody else to do it for you. I'm telling you, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Is it the word? Is it the word? Let everything that hath breath. Let everything that hath breath. Say something. You gotta say something. You gotta say something. Let everything that hath breath. Are you breathing? Don't say it to me. Look up and tell him everything you can think of to tell him today. Say something to him. Say something to him. Let him know. You see how he magnified. Hey, back there, you got to say something. You got to say something. Just one time. Get on over there. Get on over there. Say something. Say something. Can't you say something? Say something.
Praise God.
Say it.
Praise God.
You gotta say something. You can say something, can't you?
Praise God.
Glory to God. Is it beautiful? Is it holy? Is it good? Are you blessed? Are you happy? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Did God reach down when you were in sin and say, listen, you don't have to go to hell. You can be saved. Your life can be changed and turned around. Would somebody say something today? Would somebody say something right now? Would somebody seek God right now? You've got to say something. You've got to seek Him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, glory. I'm trying to back away a little bit there. I'm afraid I'm going to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. This week in Indiana, I had 9 services in 2 days. And a fellow at one of the luncheons there said, I got to tell you something, preacher. His daddy was best friends with Lester Roloff. Some of you don't know that name. Our ministry has supported, and the church has supported Roloff's ministry for years and years and years, the great work that they've done. And Lester Roloff was a pilot and a very different kind of preacher, to say the least. If you knew Lester Roloff, he was what he was. You didn't have to guess about what he was thinking. He was God's man. I don't care if you agree with him or disagree. He was God's man. But he was the most unusual preacher in some ways. That's why God's hand was on him. He'd take wayward children back when we didn't even want to acknowledge there was a drug addiction problem. He'd take wayward children, bring them in and teach them and help them. Old Lester Roloff, he had that plane. He'd fly that plane everywhere. Now, I don't know if this is legal. He's in heaven. I can't do nothing to him now. But I'm just telling you what his best friend told his son. He said, son, I've been with Lester Roloff dozens and dozens of times. Said he'd fly, go to North Carolina and preach, get in that little plane, fly, set that thing on autopilot. Said he'd take a little nap. He said, I nudged him one time, said, don't you think you ought to wake up and fly the plane? Oh, no, God's my pilot. I'm just the co-pilot. It'll be all right, don't worry about it. I'm tired. God said, rest a little while. I'll take her from here. But he always woke up at the right time. I don't know if they were squawking in his ear, Billy, or what it was, but he always woke up perfect time. And he said, preacher, did anybody ever tell you what his last known words were? And I said, as a matter of fact, I didn't know. I knew he died in that plane. Said, well, he dozed off apparently for a little bit, and when he came to, he was going into a storm. And he always used a handle, preacher. Where he's talking to, he called him the preacher. He didn't care what the air traffic controller called him. He said, it's the preacher. He said, I've been one of the worst storms I've ever been in my life. I'd like to change course or change altitude. They said, change air altitude setting. He changed his setting. Came back on a little later. Permission. Change altitude or change course. They gave him the right settings and he said it. He said, do you know what his last words were? And I said, no. He said, Tyler, this is the preacher. I'm in the worst storm I've ever been in my life. Permission to go up higher. I think he got so close to heaven, God just brought him on in. You know what I wish we'd say today? This is me, Lord. I'm calling the tower. Permission to go up higher. I'm in the worst storm I've ever been in my life. But Lord, you ride the storms and you speak through the thunder. And God, I want permission to go up a little higher. I'm going to ask him to come and sing. If you need to seek God for anything, you ought to come. If there's anything you want to tell God this morning, you ought to come and tell him. Let's sing it as we sing while God speaks to our heart. I pray you're obedient to the Lord. I praise God for those that have already come. Sought the Lord in prayer. There's others. Let's seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. He is here. Don't wait. Don't put him off as they sing. Right on the first verse. Come on, go right ahead. Sing. God bless you. You come. God bless you. Come on, come on. Front to back. Come on, up in the balcony. Come right on. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Thank God. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Lord.